B-Pod Studios.
And it is our final episode recap on our 90210 No Podcast, Loren.
Oh, it's the finale of our podcast, season one.
So season one is over, and we kind of held out from uploading the finale podcast because we wanted to wait and see if there was going to be an announcement about the next season getting greenlit. Mm-hmm. And as we record this on Monday, now almost a week later, there's still no announcement. And I reached out to the people at Fox, who, by the way, is not a good thing. It looked like we were going to get a producer, a writer, or a cast member on, and then suddenly that trail went cold.
Yeah.
So somebody was like, yes, this would be great. Let's listen to the podcast. And then we followed up again and hadn't heard back. So anyway, the finale of 90210, the 1 hour finale, I thought was fantastic. I mean, I thought it was so on point with the original. The characters are just, now Shannon Doherty to me, Loren, is a little over the top.
Yeah, but I think she's playing to that I don't want to say character because she's playing herself, but there were so many rumors, and maybe they weren't rumors, but talks about her and her personality behind the scenes. And I think that's what she's playing to in this.
And I guess it's hard for her because she's probably embarrassed of that now that she's mm-hmm. a little older. And I've actually spoken with her because she's from Memphis. And when I lived in Memphis, I did an event with her. And, you know, I mean, this was 2008, so she'd already been off the show for almost 10 years at that point. So we didn't really get too far into it. But she was so sweet. Couldn't be nicer.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody like Ian Ziering, his character is just timeless. I mean, here he is. He messes around and ends up sleeping with the writer of the show, and then runs into Denise Richards at a Fox after party.
Oh my gosh.
And in only a Steve Sanders way, gets himself into a jam. And I died laughing.
Yeah, because I guess he, you'll have to tell me, but had he hooked up with Denise Richards in the past on the show?
No, okay. She was never on the show, but that's just typical of Steve and his character in the original episodes.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s, he was always
to get himself between the mom and the daughter.
And he would always get himself screwed up. So it turns out the writer on the show, her mom is Denise Richards.
Yeah.
And he slept with both of them, which I thought was hilarious. And then, of course, Brian Austin Green finds out that Zach isn't really his son because Lala Anthony, who plays his wife, had a test done.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's a little unfair that he's so upset with her in the show. Like his whole point of view is like, you couldn't just let me have this. And I don't think, I think the kid really thinks that he's his dad. Like, I don't think
he said it. He said that my mom told me this.
Right. So, like, Brian Austin Green and the kid both think that they belong together, only to find out that, you know, this is news to the kid just as much as it is to Brian. And he's so mad at Lala because he wanted that so badly, which I don't understand because they have kids.
Yeah.
So it's not like he never had kids and, you know, he was like hoping for, you know, maybe
that's
one
a weird
day
story
he
line.
Right?
Yeah.
But at the very end, or closer to the end, rather, I think that's really Jason's son, which if this gets picked up in season two, then I think we'll learn a little bit more about it. Because
Jason looks back and he's like, that's what I'm telling you.
He looks at the picture
and
he's in the background.
The finale is the best episode.
Yeah. So do you think maybe they held on to the good, like, storylines a little too late and then now
it's
in jeopardy of getting picked up?
Episode, the show came back with lower and lower ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think it has to do with the time of year also. The end of August is the hardest time of year. This is when people who are, you know, are used to the original. And by the way, I feel like if you didn't watch the original, you weren't going to watch this. Like, what would it mean to you if you didn't watch the original?
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I was still pretty young when the original was out, but I watched it with my mom and my grandmother. So now that this is out, I feel like, and maybe it's because you and I can talk about it, but like I was kind of way more all in on the reboot than I was the first time around.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, there's a lot of people that watch the reruns on the SoapNet because they were on in the afternoon a lot. But my point is that if you're 40 something like I am, I'm 44, I don't mind saying it, but if you're in your 40s and Wednesday night in August is tough because you're dealing with back to school.
Yeah.
You got vacations that you're trying to wrap up. You got, you know, your life that you're trying to put together. So I wonder if it was given a better time spot, you know, in a different season.
Spring with us?
Fall, maybe, when everybody's hanging out inside.
So instead of starting over the summer, you would start now and then let it run.
But they didn't want to.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Give it a fall
time slot.
Time spot, yeah. Because that's too important. Where they were put is typically where terrible shows go to die. I mean, it's true. They got six episodes, and I thought they were fantastic. We'll talk more about this finale episode and the cliffhanger that happens. But I told you on the 90210 podcast last week that Jason Priestley and Jenny Garth shared a look together in the previews for this episode. And I told you, I said, they're going to get together. And the minute that bodyguard showed Jenny Garth his tat,
which was amazing, freaked,
I was like, oh, she's going to fall in love with Jason.
Yeah. Well, and Jason and Camille broke up.
Yep.
And what's crazy is she gets into an accident. He rushes to her side and takes her on vacation to try to, like, recoup her. And on vacation, she's like, you know what? Why are we trying to force this? Like, this isn't going to work, Jason. And, you know, his whole thing is like, well, I've always, if I put my mind to something, I'll do it. And she's like, yeah, but I don't want to force you into this. Like, it's not your baby.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then he turns out they kind of sped through that storyline a little bit to move it along. Because he kind of like, eventually he was like, okay, I'm good.
I like her though. Like, I would have liked to seen her stick around for season two. She's a much better actress than Lala Anthony.
Yeah. Well, Lala Anthony's parts were kind of short, but, so then we fast forward and Brian Austin Green and Tori Spelling realize that maybe they're meant to be together. And then,
which is definitely interesting to me because it's the actors that realize that maybe they should have been together like their characters. And Tori is still married.
Yeah. And Tori's awesome, by the way. Like, I think Tori Spelling, my two favorite characters on the whole reboot are Ian Ziering and Tori Spelling.
Really?
Tori's so great in her role, but I see her as Donna.
Yeah.
Like, not Tori from Tori and Dean.
Like, I like Jenny Garth because she's, like, such a spaz in real life.
Yeah.
I think that's why I like her.
Yeah. And then Ian Ziering, of course, just reminds me of me, like, always gets himself into crap.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, when Tori Spelling was, like, walking with Brian Austin Green, and it just reminded me back in the day of Donna and David being together, and then they end up hugging and admitting that maybe sometimes they both feel like something, they shouldn't have married the people they married.
Yeah, you know, I kind of feel like I relate to, and I think a lot of women can, to Tori's real-life character in the reboot, where she is starting to become like successful and like standing on her own two feet again, and her husband feels like kind of left behind and slightly, I don't want to say jealous, but put off by it. And I think that's a lot of times like what holds women back.
Yeah.
And I think that sucks.
Yeah. So, and she's being a mom. Like, she steps on toys when she comes home.
They've got like five kids together. She's pulling double duty. And then, you know, her husband's like kind of making her feel bad about it. And she's like, listen, I'm doing the best I can.
How about where she shoots the email to get the feedback on the show?
Best power move ever.
And then Christina Lise was like, no, you can't read that because none of it is good. They all think you're idiots. And like, you know, and she's so funny. Christina Lise turned out to be great in this in the season too.
I agree.
Like, the way she talks to them, like, can the five of you stop talking about yourselves for a minute? And they're like, no. I mean, that's why I think it's so, so good. And I really do hope that they come back for another season.
Yeah. Did you also catch the ode to the red dress issue from the first time around, where all three girls were in the red dresses?
Yep, and they were crushing the OC.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they did.
They made
crush
fun
the
OC a lot, and Ian Ziering straight up like, the OC stole 90210.
Yeah.
You know, they stole from us. And then Christina Lee's like, yeah, well, Misha Barton's doing a pop-up. And then they all end up doing a pop-up.
Mm-hmm.
But the cliffhanger that is left is, which I loved, as the reboot, the show gets picked up. Beverly Hills 90210 gets picked up by Fox,
mm-hmm.
which is so ironic because now we're waiting for Fox to pick it up in real life.
Yeah.
But they pick it up and they have to redo the pilot, totally reshoot the pilot,
yeah.
and they can't bring back everyone.
And they tell them this like right before they're going out on stage, so now everyone's uncomfortable.
Right?
Yeah.
And Tori and Brian Austin Green come out, and then they show the awesome shot of Jenny Garth and Jason Priestley holding hands
yeah.
and like squeezing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah.
So if you had to vote someone off the island, like let's say that this is a real life scenario and they don't have enough money to bring the whole cast back, who are you voting off the island?
Yeah, it's easy for me.
Who?
It would be
Shannon
Doherty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I they don't need that. They don't need the antagonistic character. They're so good. They all have their own neuroses that
yeah.
are so good that you don't need that. And I just don't think Shannon Doherty feels comfortable. She's not a little brat anymore, you know? So they gave her that weird kind of storyline where she's gotten into herself, into yoga,
yeah.
and like was in Peru. They had to give her something.
I agree. I think I could get down with that.
Yeah. I mean, anybody else I wouldn't be okay with. I'm sorry. I just will not continue watching Loren.
Okay.
I did just get some breaking news, but I don't know who he played on 90210. But an actor by the name of Brian Turk has passed away at the age of 49 following a battle with cancer. He's best known for his role on Beverly Hills 90210 and also starred in HBO's Carnival, ER, and Boy Meets World.
Hmm.
He also was in American Pie 2, Crocodile Dundee, L.A., and The Lost World Jurassic Park. It just
really?
I don't know who he played on.
Beverly Hills 90210 is Tiny. Two episodes he was on.
Okay.
In 1995.
Just two episodes?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Then there's no way I would know him.
Hmm.
Yeah, I wouldn't know him. I don't even remember who Tiny was. But anyway, that's some sad news. I was looking to see if there was any last minute word on
yeah.
Beverly Hills 90210 getting green lit.
Me too. And the only thing that everyone's talking about is that they're waiting to hear something one way or the
yep.
other.
And there's a fan petition. There's a Beverly Hills 90210 fan petition that you can go check out. So yeah, I just thought it was spectacular, and I thought the finale was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I do kind of. I will say, the whole stalker storyline. Now looking back, was the weakest storyline out of everything.
Yeah, it came and went.
Yeah, like it was like so drawn out and then abruptly ended so much that I was still convinced going into the finale that Jenny Garth's bodyguard was the stalker.
Right,
especially
I know.
Especially when he was showing the tattoo.
And I thought it was Zach.
Yeah.
The son.
Which I think they tied that storyline up, you know, not with a bow because they want you to think that it's Jason Priestley's son now, but yeah, out of all the storylines, I think that was the weakest.
Yeah. By the way, you can go to change.org and type in Renew Beverly Hills 90210 Reboot for Season 2.
You know, because there are important things to change in the world, people.
There's only 7,500 people signed. They're trying to get to 10,000. So two
all
people
right,
just
I'll
signed
sign
on
it.
10 minutes ago. One person signed up 5 minutes ago. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I can't say it enough, but I thought it was awesome. So, and then Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling both were quoted as saying they would absolutely love to bring the show back.
Of course. So. I mean, no offense, but like, what were they all doing before this? Like, this is the biggest thing in their careers, you know,
right,
since they started.
But it's also hard to ask somebody to come back and replay a role that you played 10 years ago. Like, a lot of them are probably like, I don't want to do that.
Well, I think that's why, like, Friends doesn't want to come
yeah.
back. And
yeah, like Seinfeld.
Yeah.
You know, ask George Clooney to come back and do ER.
I would love that.
Of course you would, you know, or even Stamos, who came on after him.
Yeah.
But
they had such great chemistry at the time, and there's no denying the fact that they, you know, still held strong in this season.
Well, listen, Ian Ziering has his Sharknado the whole Sharknado thing to live off of. So,
if this whole thing got picked up not by Fox but by like Netflix, who also did Fuller House, would you watch it there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I
too.
Don't care. It doesn't have to be Fox. Okay. I thought it was cool that it was Fox because that's where. Listen, 90210 put Fox on the map for God's sakes in the mid 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, if you want to get into who put Fox on the map, it was the original 21 Jump Street with Johnny Depp. But then 90210 came along, then The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember at one point Fox was only known for like its Sunday night programming. And then the Wednesday night programming and Models, Inc. Remember that?
I loved Models,
Party
Inc.
Of, Party of
I know,
Five.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, Party of Five. Models, Inc. lasted like two episodes. Party of Five was good. You know, the list, the OC, of course, mm-hmm. like we mentioned. And then they did that one reboot of 90210, but it wasn't with any of the original characters, although yeah. Jenny Garth and I believe Tori Spelling made a
cameo,
an appearance cameo. So, all right. If there is an announcement of a new season, we will jump back on and do a quick podcast about that. And we'll talk about all the details. And if we hear anything from one of the producers or the writers, who's, by the way, it's not good. It's not a good sign when it goes cold, when they say, yes, we'll try and find somebody for you. Then all of a sudden they don't anymore.
Yeah, but they haven't said no. So there's still hope.
Said no. All right. Okay. Anyway, bring back 90210 and make sure you tweet Fox and let them know that we're ready to have it come back again next season. You guys, thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.